leading them off to stables within the encircling wall. The first traveller pulled back his cowl, revealing the long, pale face, white blonde hair, marble features and silvery eyes of Special Agent Aloysius Pendergast of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The monk turned toward the other. The second figure removed its cowl with a tentative movement, brown hair spilling out into the wind, catching the swirling snowflakes. She stood, head slightly bowed, a young woman who appeared to be in her early 20s, Constance Green, Pendergast's ward. The monk stared at her for only a moment. Making no comment, he turned and gestured for them to follow him down a stone causeway toward the main complex. Pendergast and his ward followed the monk in silence as he passed through a second gate and entered the dark confines of the monastery itself, the air laden with the scent of sandalwood and wax. The great iron-bound doors boomed shut behind them, muffling the howling wind to a faint whisper. They continued down a long hallway, one side of which was lined with brass prayer cylinders. The hall turned, forked, and turned again, driving deeper into the monastic depths. The maze-like turnings brought them at last into a large room. One end was dominated by a gold statue of Padmasambhava, the tantric Buddha, illuminated by hundreds of candles. Unlike the contemplative, half-closed eyes of most depictions of the Buddha, the tantric Buddha's eyes were wide open, alert, and dancing with life, symbolizing the heightened awareness achieved by his study of the secret teachings of Dzogchen and the even more esoteric Chongran. The Gazalrig Chong Monastery was one of two repositories in the world preserving the discipline of Chongran, the enigmatic teachings known to those few who were familiar with them as the jewel of the mind's impermanence. At the threshold to this inner sanctum, the two travelers paused. At the far end, a number of monks reposed in silence, sitting on tiered stone benches as if awaiting someone. The uppermost tier was occupied by the abbot of the monastery. He was a peculiar-looking man, his ancient face wrinkled into a permanent expression of amusement, even mirth. Next to him sat a slightly younger monk, also known to Pendergast, Tsering, one of only very few of the monks who spoke English, who acted as the manager of the monastery. Tsering rose and spoke in an English shot through with the strange musical lilt of Tibetan. "Friend Pendergast, we welcome you back to Monastery of Gazalrig Chong, and we welcome your guest. Please sit down and take tea with us." He gestured to a stone bench set with two silk-embroidered cushions, the only cushions in the room. The two sat, and moments later, several monks appeared, carrying brass trays loaded with cups of steaming buttered tea and sampa. They drank the sweet tea in silence, and only when they had finished did Tsering speak again. "What brings friend Pendergast back to Gazalrig Chong?" he asked. Pendergast rose. "Thank you, Tsering, for your welcome," he said quietly. "I am glad to be back. I return to you in order to continue my journey of meditation and enlightenment. Let me introduce to you Miss Constance Green, who also has come in hopes of study." He took her hand, and she rose. A long silence ensued. At last, Tsering rose. "This is first woman ever to come to Gazalrig Chong. We never accept woman before as student. I am sorry to say it cannot be permitted, especially now in middle of funeral ceremonies for Venerable Ralong Rinpoche." "The Rinpoche is dead?" Pendergast asked. Tsering bowed. "I am sorry to hear of the death of the Most High Lama." At this, Tsering smiled. "Is no loss. We will find his reincarnation, the 19th Rinpoche, and he will be with us again. It is I who am sorry to deny your request." "She needs your help. I need your help. We are both tired of the world. We have come a long way to find peace. Peace and healing. I know how difficult journey you make. I know how much you hope. But Gazalrig Chong..."